नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरोञ्चैवं नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वती व्यासं ततो जयं गुजीरयत् नश्च प्रायस्वाभाद्वेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवाय भावतु तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हरे कृष्ण हरे गौरीश सो श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट 26 I'll recite that, then do 27 and 28, and then after I finish 29, then the Buddhists that want to chant can also chant text 29. Okay. Hare Krishna. Tam vyastavasam sukumara pada karuru bahuam shakapola gatram kavyata kavyayata shona satulya karna Subrivananam kambush jata kantam. Word for word. Tam him. Dwi ashta 16. Vasam ears. Sukumara delicate. Pada legs. Kara hands. Uru thighs. Bahu arms, Amsa shoulders, Kapola forehead, Gatram body, Charu beautiful, Ayata broad, Aksha eyes, Unasa high nose, Tulya similar, Karna ears, Subhru nice brows, Ananam face, Kambu conch shell, Sujata, nicely built. Kantam, neck. Translation by Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki jai. This son of Vyasadeva was only 16 years old. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead, and the other parts of his body were all delicately formed. And his eyes were beautifully wide, and his nose and ears were highly raised. He had a very attractive face, and his neck was well-formed and beautiful like a conch shell. Report by Srila Prabhupada. A respectable personality is described beginning with the legs, and this honored system is observed here with Shukadeva Goswami. He was only 16 years of age. The person is honored for his achievements and not for advanced age. A person can be older by experience and not by age. Sri Shukadeva Goswami, who is described herein as the son of Vyasadeva, was by his knowledge more experienced than all the sages present there, although he was only 16 years old. Text 27. Niguta charum pritutunga bakshasam avata nabhim valiparkutaram cha Digambaram bhakta vikirna kesham palamba bahum swamarutama bam. Word for word, Srila Prabhupada. Niguda, covered. Jatrum, collarbone. Kritu, broad. Tunga, swollen. Bhakshasam, chest. Avata, world. Nabhim, navel. Valivalgu, stripped. Udaram, abdomen. Cha, also. Digambaram, dressed by all directions, naked. Vaktra, curled. Vikirna, scattered. Kesham, hair. Valamba, elongated. Bahum, hands. Suamara Uttama, the best among the gods. Krishna, Abham, hue. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. His collarbone was fleshy, his chest broad and thick, his navel deep and his abdomen beautifully striped. His arms were long and curly hair was strewn all over his beautiful face. He was naked, and the hue of his body reflected that of Lord Krishna. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. His bodily features indicate him to be different from the common man. All the signs described in connection with the bodily features of Shukadeva Goswami are uncommon symptoms, typical of great personalities according to physiognomical calculations. His bodily hue resembled that of Lord Krishna, who is the supreme among the gods, demigods, and all living beings. Next text, text 28. Swayam sadapi vyavago vayonga lakshmiya shrinam manogyam ruchirasmitena vachyutitaste munayasat swasanivyas talakshanagya apigudavachasam. Word for word, Vaishnava Prabhupada. Swayam, blackish, sada, always, apivya, excessively, vaya, age, anga, symptoms, lakshmiya, by the opulence of srinam, of the fair sex, mana, gyam, attractive, ruchira, beautiful, smitena, smiling, patu, tita, stood up, te, all of them, munaya, the great sages, swa, on, asanibya, from the seeds, tat, those, lakshanagya, expert in the art of physiognomy, api, even, kuda, vachasam, covered glories. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. He was blackish and very beautiful due to his youth. Because of the glamour of his body and his attractive smiles, he was pleasing to women. Though he tried to cover his natural glories, the great sages present there were all expert in the art of physiognomy. And so they honored him by rising from their seats. Text 29. Savishnu rato titaya agataya tasmai saparyam shirasa jaharam nato nivritaihya vutastri yorbaka mahasaneso pavivesha putita. Hare Krishna. Word for word by Srila Prabhupada. Sahi Vishnu rata Maharaj Pariksit, who is always protected by Lord Vishnu. Atitaye, to become a guest. Agataya, one who arrived there. Tasmai, unto him. Saparyam, with the whole body. Shirasa, with bowed head. Ajahara, offered obeisances. Tataha, thereafter. Nivrita, ceased. He, certainly. Abudha, less intelligent. Sriya, women. Abaka, boys. Mahasane, exalted seat. Sahi, upavivesha, sat down. Pujita, being respected. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Pariksit, who is also known as Vishnu Rata, one who is always protected by Vishnu, bowed his head to receive the chief guest, Shukadeva Goswami. At that time, all the ignorant women and boys ceased following Srila Shukadeva. Receiving respect from all, Shukadeva Goswami took his exalted seat. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. On Shukadeva Goswami's arrival at the meeting, everyone except Srila Vyasadeva, Narada, and a few others stood up. And Maharaj Pariksit, who was glad to receive a great devotee of the Lord, bowed down before him with all the limbs of his body. Shukadeva Goswami also exchanged the greetings and reception by embrace, shaking of hands, nodding, and bowing down, especially before his father and Narada Muni. Thus, he was offered the presidential seat at the meeting. When he was so received by the king and sages, the street boys and less intelligent women who followed him were struck with wonder and fear, so they retired from their frivolous activities, and everything was full of gravity and calm. Oma Ginat Virandasya, Gana Gana Shalakaya, Chakshuram Militam Dena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Padati Swaha Padatika. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Peshtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravan Pacharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Pastatyadi Shatarini. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Padayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gurase Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivachari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we read the text again, beginning from text 26, the English translation. This son of Vyasadeva was only 16 years old. His legs, hands, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead, and the other parts of his body were all delicately formed. His eyes were beautifully wide, and his nose and ears were highly raised. He had a very attractive face, and his neck was well-formed and beautiful like a conch shell. Text 27, English translation. His collarbone was fleshy, his chest broad and thick, his navel deep, and his abdomen beautifully striped. His arms were long, and curly hair was strewn all over his beautiful face. He was naked, and the hue of his body reflected that of Lord Krishna. Text 28, English translation. He was blackish and very beautiful due to his youth. Because of the glamour of his body and his attractive smiles, he was pleasing to women. Though he tried to cover his natural glories, the great sages present there were all expert in the art of physiognomy, and so they honored him by rising from their seats. The last text for this one, text 29, English translation. Maharaj Parikshit, who is also known as Vishnu Rakta, one who is always protected by Vishnu, bowed his head to receive the chief guest, Shukadeva Goswami. At that time, all the ignorant women and boys ceased following Srila Shukadeva. Receiving respect from all, Shukadeva Goswami took his exalted seat. Hare Krishna. So, this is a very interesting description here. First, the description of Shukadeva Goswami himself, the way he looked, parts of his body, and the description of how wonderful and how perfect they looked. And then the respect that he received. They gave him the presidential seat. In other words, he was going to be the one presiding over this meeting. And they were very, very highly, highly, highly elevated. Expansions of the Lord, as well as devotees of the Lord present. Narada Muni was present, Srila Vyasadeva was present. And so this was a very, 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 very high level meeting of personalities who wanted to come to see Maharaj Parikshit leave in a very glorious way, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam with full attention. So, with full attention. So, there's a lot to be said about the Lord and the Lord's devotees and how their own bodies reflect their connection to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes we wonder why Srimad Bhagavatam takes so much trouble to describe the looks of a pure devotee of the Lord. A pure devotee vibrates so much. Sometimes when you see someone, even among us in ISKCON, you will see a particular devotee. Actually, before I even talk about any devotee, see Prabhupada himself. Many of his disciples talked about when they first saw him. And when they first saw him, they were all saying, one that I kept hearing, this is from the videos, the Prabhupada memory videos. So you can hear it yourself. It's on YouTube and other places too. That they said he looked effulgent. He looked effulgent. When one delves deeply into Krishna consciousness and lives it, then there is some sort of show, some sort of indication that the body gives, literally. You see that there is some confidence, there's some happiness, there's some effort, something about the body makes that person stand out. And those who are observant will notice that. So in this first one, it said that Sukadeva Goswami was 16 years old. When he was born, he left home immediately. His father followed him all the way to the Ganga River when Maharaj Parikshit was there. So his hands, legs, thighs, arms, shoulders, forehead, and other parts of the body were delicately formed. Eyes were very beautiful. They were wide. His nose was highly raised. His ears raised. He had a very attractive face. And even his neck was well formed, beautiful like a conch shell. This is described in text 26, the first one that we're reading today. Now, Srila Prabhupada talks about how to describe a personality that is respectable. We describe the personality beginning with the legs. And that also reminds us, when we come to the temple and we see the deity, we have to first look at the deity's feet and then gradually go up to the deity's face. So we look at the deity's feet first, then up to the ankle area, and then further up to the knee, and further up to the hips, and further up to the chest, and further up to the face. Like that. This shows respect. We are at the lotus feet of this personality. Whether it's the deity, whether it's your Prabhupada, you look at him that way. That shows respect. So a respectable personality is to be described like that. And we also have to look at the personality in that way. So that's very, very important. I know sometimes we come to the temple and the deities are dressed so nicely, therefore there's just that, tendency to want to look straight at the deity's face. You see how nice it looks. Normally when we see people, we look at their face. Who is this person? We identify them based on the face. So, I'm a little bit under the weather, so my nose is running a little bit. Anyway, so, Sukadeva Goswami, as I said, we want to look at the face, but now we're being instructed, as Srimad Bhagavatam always instructed so well. A respectable personality has to be looked at from the legs up. So when we come to the temple, we should do that at home also. Nadidis, look at them the same way. It is a sign of humility and a sign of giving respect. So, in text 27, now the parts of Sukadeva Goswami is being described. How beautiful he looked. Now the whole point of his describing the Sukadeva Goswami was to bring about the point, of him, Sukadeva Goswami, looking like Sri Krishna. The hue of his body were like, the hue was blue, blackish type, like Lord Krishna's body. Uddhava also has Lord Krishna's type body. They are all very, very pure devotees of the Lord. Now he, Sukadeva Goswami, was totally detached from material energy. So much so that he didn't even bother to put any clothes on. He was naked, but it wasn't like to bring any kind of motor passion situation to anyone. He was just very, very, very detached from the material world. Sometimes he's not the only one, sometimes other personalities too are like that. Navigendras traveled like that. Four Kumaras traveled like that. So nothing new. So the bodily features, the Prabhupada says, are very different from regular men. They are uncommon symptoms, these bodily features. And they are typical of great personalities. And those that gathered there knew that. When they see that difference in that particular person, they know he's a great personality. So whatever Sukadeva Goswami tried to do to kind of cover up that, those that were gathered there certainly were not deceived. They knew that this was a very highly elevated personality that had come. So those symptoms are there. He was blackish. His hair was beautiful. Text 28 said, blackish and very beautiful. He was 16, so his youth, usually, even now, the physical bodies that we have, we all know that in the mid-teens, late teens, we're going to look the very best that we are going to look in this physical body at that time, at that age. Nothing new in the case of Sukadeva Goswami. He was 16 at that time. And, of course, very confident, very, very Krishna conscious, being schooled well about Srimad Bhagavatam right in the womb of his mother. And now, he's coming, and because he's attractive, women get attracted to him, little people, I mean, children are curious, women are attracted. But he got to the Ganga River where Maharaj Parikshit was at, and then the sages saw him, and they rose up from their seats, except those that were very, very highly placed, like Narada Muni and, you know, his own father and Vyasadeva. So they didn't get up. But, you know, that's understandable. We don't have to go into details about that. But the rest of them honored him nicely by getting up from their seats. Now, Maharaj Parikshit, he's known as Vishnu Rakta, one who was always protected by Vishnu. He was protected by Lord Vishnu in the womb of his mother, even before he was born. Ashwatthama tried to kill him, threw the Brahmastra at him. So, he already had seen, when he was in the womb, he had seen the Lord come. And so he was always looking when he came out. Where is the Lord? Where is the Lord? So he was called examiner. So Parikshit means examiner. So he's also Vishnu Rakta, one who is protected by Lord Vishnu. Not only in the womb, but all through his life. Like that. So he bowed to the chief guest, as the translation says, Sukadeva Goswami. And at that time, then the women that were following him just because of he was so attractive, they realized that they better get away. They stopped following Sukadeva Goswami. And when Sukadeva Goswami took his exalted seat, they all left. They realized this wasn't somebody who was just very good looking and was following just because he looks good and he's smiling and, you know, just his mood was so pleasant. So Sukadeva Goswami now has arrived. Maharaj Parikshit is already there. And those who are at the meeting have stood up, except Vyasadeva, Narada Muni, and a few others, and Srila Prabhupada says. Then Sukadeva Goswami exchanged greetings. He embraced some of them. He shook hands with some of them. Those that were seen at him, he nodded and bowed down. Especially before his father, he bowed down for Narada Muni. It's interesting how Krishna in Mahabharata, when he also traveled from one place to another, and he was meeting with those who were playing the roles of relatives, depending on when he came to the earth and when they also came to the earth, he was sometimes embracing and sometimes offering obeisances like that. So, this is a very nice way of, you know, connecting based on rank, based on age, based, you know, all of those things. Srila Prabhupada has also mentioned that a person knows about the Shastra and experience, those are based not on age, because most probably, apart from the women and the young people who were there early and then they left, arguably, if not every one of them that was listening to him, maybe few would be younger. And this is a little bit of speculation on my part. But 16 years old. 16 years in the body at that time. Sukadeva Goswami is actually a pet parrot for Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. It's called Shuka. So his name didn't change very much. And he was asked to stay when Krishna, Radha and Krishna were leaving to go back to the spiritual world. He was asked to stay. And he went to hear Srimad Bhagavatam first from Lord Shiva, who was preaching Srimad Bhagavatam, talking about Srimad Bhagavatam to his wife, Parvati. And that's when he heard first time. And he didn't hear all of it, because what had happened, to say the long, short version of the story, as a parrot, he perched on a tree close to where Lord Shiva and Parvati were. And Lord Shiva was speaking Bhagavatam to Parvati. Parvati was so interested. And Lord Shiva at some point said, "Do you understand?" And Parvati said, "Yes, yes, very nice. Yes, yes, very nice." About the third canto part, when Lord Shiva reached there, now, Parvati began to nod off. Parvati began to sleep, because she was sitting on Lord Shiva's lap, so, you know, her back was to Lord Shiva's face, so Lord Shiva could not see his wife's face, so when she nodded off, he didn't know. He just kept speaking. But he kept saying, at some point, "It's very nice. Is it clear?" Then he heard, "Yes, yes, very nice. Yes, yes, very nice." But Parvati was sleeping. So where was this sound coming from? Sounding exactly like Parvati's voice. Well, we all know what parrots do. They can repeat something. And this is actually a pure devotee of the Lord. That's difficult at all for Shuka to repeat it. So what happened was that Shuka knew that Parvati was sleeping. But Shuka wanted to continue hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Lord Shiva. Therefore, whenever Lord Shiva said, "Do you understand?" then Shuka would respond, using a voice very similar to Parvati. And Lord Shiva thought that was Parvati, so then he continued. Until he got to where would be in Bhagavatam, the 10th canto, and Parvati woke up, and he said, "My Lord, I'm so sorry. I didn't know what you talked about from 3rd canto, that point on, because I had nodded off. I don't know about it." Lord Shiva says, "But I heard you say, yes, yes, very nice." She said, "I didn't." And so Lord Shiva said, "You didn't?" Then he looked around to see, where's the sound coming from then, if it's not from my wife? Looks up a tree and here is Shuka. And immediately, Lord Shiva put two and two together and said, it must be the parrot that did that. And so he got upset with Shuka. He took his trident. This is Lord Shiva. And came after Shuka. Shuka flew. Lord Shiva gave chase. And he came to Vyasadeva's ashram. Shuka flew in that direction. And Lord Shiva just, gave chase. And so Shuka, the parrot, got in the ashram, and Pastor Dave was there. Pastor Dave's wife was there, and Pastor Dave was speaking Bhagavatam at the time to his wife. Shuka, the first opportunity he got for Vyasadeva's wife to open her mouth, Shuka entered, made himself little, because they have all these, you know, abilities, cities, mystic cities. So he entered. The wife of Vyasadeva went inside the body as a means of disappearing from Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva saw him enter the ashram, so he also came in. And then he asked Vyasadeva, did you see a parrot coming through here? Vyasadeva did not answer that way. He just said, so you were after a parrot. Why? Explain what had happened. And Shiva explained what had happened, how Shuka, the parrot, had deceived him when he was speaking Bhagavatam to his wife. Oh, you were speaking Bhagavatam to your wife. And so Shuka was listening. Then they had to admit, Lord Shiva had to admit, yes, he was listening. Well, now, Bhagavatam is very purifying, isn't it? Lord Shiva had to admit that. So if you spoke Bhagavatam and that purified this parent, why do you want to kill him? And that, Shiva did not answer. He just turned around and left. And so Shuka stayed in the womb. Finally, in the womb of Vyasadeva's wife, and then finally got born. He didn't want to come out. The Bhagavatam was being spoken at that time, and Shuka stayed in Vyasadeva's wife's womb and listened to the whole thing. And so later on, and it was years later, almost 16 years at that time, when he stayed in fact, it took Krishna to get him to come out. He didn't even want to come out of the womb because he didn't want to deal with the material energy at all. But when he came out, he left home. And he followed, this is, he made a direction, direct, you know, went straight to the Ganga River where Maharaj Parikshit was at. So he became the spiritual master instructing Maharaj Parikshit. And that's the Srimad Bhagavatam for all our benefit and our growth. I was reading earlier this morning that a portion of description of Srimad Bhagavatam, and it was very powerful. Srimad Bhagavatam contains all kinds of subjects. You can be very, very well educated by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, by being taught from Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is true, having background in science myself, I know that there's so many things now that Bhagavatam talks about that this material scientists have not gotten to. They don't even know. And there's so many mistakes you can start from even the planetary arrangements. Now people have it so wrong. They think there are 9 planets. Well, there are 14 planetary systems. How are these people who are saying 9 planets ever going to know? Unless they are fortunate enough to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam. So some things we see and we say, okay, this is the knowledge we have and we take it for granted. But believe me, this is very, very high knowledge that we have now from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it was very huge. Very, very, very huge, this meeting between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit. And the fact that that many people who are very highly elevated came to listen, that shows the importance of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now in this part here, so much respect was given. Offering respects to Shukadeva Goswami. It is very important for us to also realize that offering respects is a very, very important part of being a devotee. In Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 4, Chapter 3, text 22, Srila Prabhupada talks a little bit about it. He says in the Bhagavatam, offering respect, the Lord is saying that the offering respect to his devotee is more valuable than offering respect to him. Offering respect to his devotee Maj bhakta puja vyadika. Your offer puja to my devotee, his Lord says, I become more pleased than even offering puja to me. We are to learn how to relate to the Lord by relating to the devotees. And some may say, what? But the Lord is here as a deity and not the Lord himself. Why don't we just learn how to offer respect directly to the Lord? Question is, how many of us can actually relate to the deity? We don't have those eyes that God Brahma is saying, that eyes that are tinged with the salve of love of Godhead yet, because we're just in training. We don't know how to get to that Krishna prema. We're not at the Krishna prema. We're just learning how to get to it. Many of us are the not the liberty form, trying to get rid of unwanted desires. So we're not nowhere near that. So we can't go directly to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The deity is there for us to serve the servant. And that's why the deity is there. We learn to serve and from that develop our love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, a few people may tell you who have looked a little bit closely and relate to the deity, that sometimes we look at the deity would smile. Sometimes the deity would look away from the person that's looking. It all depends on the consciousness of that person. The deity is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But we are fortunate to have the deity there so that we can serve the deity. Because the deity doesn't do anything and the deity is the Lord. The deity doesn't do anything so that we have 100% full credits for everything that we do. Look at it the other way. If the deity did something, we wouldn't get to do that thing. If the deity fed himself, we can't feed him. If the deity clothed himself, we can't clothe him. And that will cut back on the spiritual credits that we get. But in the spiritual world also, and this is very high level, I heard this from high level activity, heard this from Srila Radhana Maharaj, one lecture, that in the spiritual world too, the devotees, the gopis, they dress Krishna, and they have all kinds of wonderful, fragrant things they put on Krishna's body. And Krishna allows them to do that too. And for that matter, Srimati Radharani. The divine couple is served very nicely. And so we are fortunate to be able to get to do that for the deity, who is the Lord himself. So offering respects is very, very important. Devotees, we don't identify with the body. Because we are not the body, we are the soul. So offering respect to Vaishnava, Srila Prabhupada says, means offering respect to Lord Vishnu. The Paramatma is in the heart of every devotee. So it's a matter of etiquette. As soon as one sees a Vaishnava, you have to immediately offer respect. Like that. It's very important. So also, this is another story that happened. It's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam on Canto 6, Chapter 7. And we see a short version of it. Shukadeva Goswami is describing to Maharaj Pariksit, King Pariksit. So he said, O King, once upon a time, the King of Heaven, Indra, he was extremely proud because of his great opulence in his three worlds. What did he do? He transgressed the law of Vedic etiquette, the respect. How did it happen? Well, he was on his throne. One day he was just surrounded by so many heavenly bodies. Maruts, Vasus, Rudras, Adityas, Ribhus, Vishwadevs, Sadyas, Ashwini Kumaras, Siddhas, Charanas, Gandharvas, they were all there. Lapsaras were there. They were also singing. They were dancing. Kinaras, Vidyaharas, they all were there. So they were all offering respects to Indra. And all kinds of services by dancing and singing and so on. And Indra's head was covered with white umbrella, nice on top of a very effulgent and it was being fanned by whisks. And the paraphernalia of great kings, so many things were happening to him. And his wife was there, Sachi Devi. He was sitting by the side of Indra. So all of this was going on. And Indra was so happy to be receiving all this attention. What happened? In the middle of this, Brihaspati comes there, goes there, appears there. Brihaspati is the best of sages. He's the spiritual master of the demigods, therefore the spiritual master of Indra. And everyone respects him, Brihaspati. Even the demons respect Brihaspati. Indra saw his spiritual master before him. He did not rise from his seat to offer a seat to his spiritual master. He did not give him any respectful welcome. He did not show him. He, Indra, did not show Brihaspati any respect. So we're talking about the other way, not respecting. And what can happen? Brihaspati realized what was going on. And he realized that Indra was just so steeped in the ego from the attention that he was getting. And so he left. He left the assembly. And when he left was when Indra realized that he had done a very, very, very bad thing in front of his spiritual master, not offering respect to him. For us, when we see gurus anywhere, we have to offer respect. We have to bow down, offer respect. It does not matter that from where we're coming, even the guru's back is to us. The guru does not have to notice us offering respect. Even if we turn aside and we should offer respect anyway. We shouldn't have to get his attention first, then offer respect. No. When he sees it, fine. He doesn't see it, that's also fine. Because the Lord sees everything that we do. We are in practice. So we should offer respect. Well, Indra did not do that. And so the story is quite long. The demigod suffered as a result of the mistake by Indra. And Indra himself later on got cursed. First, Indra tried to go look for his spiritual master, but his spiritual master made himself invisible, so Indra could not find him. Later on, Indra himself got cursed, and the demigods were also defeated by the demons for that thing that Indra did. So when a leader does something that's wrong, it affects everyone. Everyone under the leadership. A simple example is this. Say, a teacher. Teacher is teaching the children, goes in the classroom, writes on a board, notes, and they write, he writes, or she writes, the teacher writes, the students also copy. But if he writes something that is wrong, it's just new to the students. They don't know. So they write, and it's also, maybe, without their knowledge, it's a mistake. So if there's a class of about 40 people, and the teacher writes something that's wrong on the board, 40 people copy that mistake. We copy that thing, and they think that it's okay, when in fact, it is wrong. So when a leader makes a mistake, it affects everyone under the leadership. So we have to offer respect as a matter of duty for everyone. Ones that are at our level as peers, we can offer respect in one way. We can offer respect to those that are higher in ranking than us. But we have to offer respect because the Paramatma is present in the heart of everyone. So offering respect to a devotee also means offering respect to the Lord. Therefore, we should never ever put that down. It's a very, very important aspect of our devotional life and devotional training. So, the guru is a confidential servitor of the Lord. As Vishwanath Chakravarti says, that, Chaksha Daridvena Samasta Sastrai, Utkastata Vyata Iva Sadvi, Kintu Prabhu Yapia Ebatasha. King Tuprabho Yapia Ebatasha. He's the most confidential servitor of the Lord. Guru is offered the same respect that we offer God, and we get training from it. And so this mood that was shown by those that were present, to Shukadeva Goswami when he came, is one that we should remember and never ever let Maya tell our minds, I don't feel like. No, there's no question I don't feel like. We should always offer respect. And that way, our devotional keeper will be protected. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So thank you very much for listening and allowing me to do this service. Now you can unmute yourself, talk about some takeaways or some realizations if you want to connect with this topic, and also questions if you have some. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Just mine. Lord, you fall for me. Krishna's mercy, Guru's mercy. Hare Krishna. This story was actually said by Radhana Swami. That's who I heard the story from the first time. Very interesting story. Hare Krishna. Any other comments, questions, takeaways? Shepherd, glory to the Prabhupada. They were saying in the Shastra, later on it mentions that he was there among them. He was there among them, so he did come. Now, first, since you've asked about it, we'll tell you a little more detail about it. So first, when Shukadeva Goswami was born, when he left home, first of all, this is a son. So the father very much loves the son, Srila Vyasadeva. He was leaving. And Vyasadeva wanted him to come, to stay home. He didn't want Shukadeva Goswami to leave. But everything is done by the will of the Lord. And Shukadeva Goswami knew that he had to head for the Ganga where Maharaj Pariksha was. But Srila Vyasadeva wanted to make him stay at home. As a matter of fact, in another part of the Shastra, it says that Shukadeva Goswami actually made a double. And that double went back home, and he continued to go on. That's another part we didn't talk about. So he kind of satisfied his father. But anyway, it says also in the Shastra where the meeting was at that, there was respect given like that. And so, and his father was there, Narada, he was also there. So that situation explains that Vyasadeva did in fact come also to listen to the Bhagavatam. The fact that they said he was there, he was there. And it had to be Vyasadeva. It wasn't Maharaj Pariksit's father, because Maharaj Pariksit's father died on, Abhimanyu, he died on in the Battle of Kukshetra. So the father was in fact father for Shukadeva Goswami, and that is Vyasadeva. It means he was there. So we can, draw that conclusion from it pretty easily. Hare Krishna. Everything about this is just more layers and layers and layers of pastimes. So we said it in the short version. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or realizations or takeaways from this? Hare Krishna. Anyone? If not, it's just past the hour, and thank you very much for coming to hear. My humble obeisances to all of you. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Vancha kalpataru vesya kripa sundive evacha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Vaishnav Thakur ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, Jai, Hare Krishna, glory to the Father.